Today's daf is Lamed Daled. We're going to start Lamed Gimel Lamed Bet toward the bottom, the second, third wide line. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda, Behar Ziki Chayav B'Shtei Mezuzot. Okay, if you have a Behar Ziki, which I'm sure you all know what that means, you have to have two mezuzot. Okay, so obviously nobody really knows what Behar Ziki is. My Behar Ziki, Amar Papa Saba Mishmei Derav, Beit Shar HaPatuach L'Chatzer U'Batim P'tuchim L'Beit Shar. Okay, even this is unclear what this means. There's a gatehouse that's open to a Chatzer, and there's houses that are also open to the gatehouse. Okay, so I'm going to show you two different pictures, according to Rashi and according to the Rambam and the Ran and in the Koran. So you have this gatehouse, and either it's between, it opens up, okay, here's, let's say you go through Rishit HaRabim into a chatzer, a courtyard. A courtyard is an area that people use for living purposes, even though it's outdoor, but it's outdoor space that's considered living purposes, as opposed to, we're going to see, let's say, a garden, where a garden is usually used just for decorative purposes and not, you wouldn't need a mezuzah if you had an entranceway. So here you go from the Rishit HaRabim into the courtyard. From there, you go into this gatehouse, and there's a house on either side. Okay, so that's a Beit Shar HaPatuach. Right, this they call it the Beit Shar Ptuach LaChatzer Ubatim Ptuchim LaBeit Shar. That's one interpretation. Another is that you go from the Rishit HaRabim right into the gatehouse, and there's a courtyard on one side, and there's a house on the other side. It doesn't work exactly well with the word Batim, because Batim sounds like it's more than one house. But that's basically the two interpretations. And then the assumption is you would need a mezuzah on both sides of the gatehouse, okay, both to the Chatzer and to the house. Or both to both of the houses. Tanu Rabanan, Beit Shar, we're going to need it still. HaPatuach Ligina Ulekitonit. Actually, I think there is no picture of this. Right. Okay. This is different. This is now you have a Beit Shar that's open to a garden and a small room. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nidon Kikitonit. Okay, it's judged like the small room. In other words, you'd have to have a mezuzah on the gatehouse. Even, right, according to this, I think it's even in both directions, he would say. Right, there's a big debate about how exactly to understand this this case. Right, so here you'd have to judge it like the Kitonit, since it's, I guess the assumption is maybe going into the gatehouse. Since the gatehouse leads to both a small room and a courtyard, and a gina, a garden, which a garden doesn't need a mezuzah, but the small room does, so you'd have to put a mezuzah on the gatehouse because it's judged like the small room. The chachamim omrim nidon kibet shar, okay, which I think the gear says change, 1 second. This also, right, I would assume this means really that it's judged like the garden. Okay, that it, you don't need a mezuzah there at all. Okay, Rav Shmuel Damre Travayu Migina Labai. Now we're gonna have a machloket about this machloket. Okay, so one says it's like the Kitonit, and one says it's like a Beit Shar. And people don't live in a gatehouse, so you wouldn't need a mezuzah. So Rav Shmuel Damre Travayu Migina Labayit Kulei Alma Lo Pligi DeChayav. If you're going from the garden into the house, everyone agrees that you're going to be chayav. If the you're going from the garden into that little room, obviously you're going to be chayav. My taima bia debayeti. Ki pligi mi bayit legina. The question is, if you, the entrance is going from the house to the gina, and you generally wouldn't, I guess, walk into the house that way, but you walk out of the house that way into the gina, then there's this machloket. Mar savar kitonit ikar, umar savar gina ikar. And then you have this machloket, since it's coming from the house, from the small room, would you call that ikar, or would you not, since the main entrance is used to get to the gina? Rav Yosef Tamar Travayu mi bayit legina kuleyam lo pligi de patur. Everybody agrees if it's an entranceway into the gina, then for sure you're not going to be chayav. My taima pitra de ginahi, because it's the entrance to the garden. Ki pligi mi gina labayit. The machloket is if you have this entranceway going into the house. Mar savar biyad bayitu umar savar kula adata de gina huda avide. The whole thing was really created, this small room, because remember, it's only this small room. This small room was only connected as an addition to the garden. And since the main thing is the garden, it's not really, it's judged by the garden, and you wouldn't need a mezuzah. Abaye b'Rava, Avdei k'Rava v'Rav Yosef. Rav Ashi, Avi k'Rabbi Shmuel l'chumra. Okay, so Abaye and Rabbi did like Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, but it doesn't need a mezuzah. And Rav Ashi held like Shmuel l'chumra that it needs a mezuzah. And like Rabbi and Shmuel. V'hilchata k'Rabbi Shmuel l'chumra. Okay, and the halacha is in fact that we're machmir. Okay, itmar. Lu ha-patuach, patuach min abayit la'aliyah. Okay, now we have this area, okay, the I don't even know exactly how you would define this, but an aperture, that's what they say in the, what exactly, it's an aperture. It opens for the ceiling of a house, okay, and it opens to a loft, okay? So where somebody's living in the loft with this, here they explain there was a walled staircase leading from the lower floor to the loft, okay? So there's this staircase leading to the loft, basically. So the question is, it's a walled staircase, but it's a staircase and it leads to the loft. So the question is, so if it's patuach min abayit la'aliyah, right? The aliyah is the loft. Am Rav Huna, im yesh lo petach echad, chaya b'mezuzah achat. If it has one entrance, one opening there, then if the staircase basically has one doorway, okay, from here they say either from the house or from the upper story, there's this doorway that goes there. Then, chayav b'mezuzah achat. V'im yesh lo shnei p'tachim, okay, if it has an entrance both at the bottom and at the top, and it has this entranceway, it has to be this covered type stairwell, then you would need a mezuzah both at the bottom and at the top. Amar Rav Papa, shma minami de Rav Huna. Okay, the fact that Rav Huna said that if there's petach achad, you need one mezuzah, if it's shnei p'tachim, you need two mezuzah. So Rav Papa says, shma minami de Rav Huna, hai androna, Diila arba bave chayav ba arba mezonot mezuzot. Sorry, he says that if you have a certain type of room that has four gates, then you need to have four mezuzahs on it. Okay, because he's basically saying as long as there's a doorway there and a doorway there, you need a mezuzah. Which means anytime you have multiple doorways that lead to the same space, because right, one is at the bottom of the staircase, which is only leading up to the room at the top of the staircase. So you basically have two doorposts for one room, and you need a mezuzah on both. So he says, likewise, if you had this androna, which has four gates, then you'd be chayav arba mezonot. So they say, sorry, mezuzot. I keep saying mezonot, I don't know why. Arba mezuzot. Pshita. So they say, what do you mean? If there's four entrances into one room, obviously you're going to need four mezuzot. What's the chidush there? If you have, let's say, a room which has four entrances to it, so obviously you're going to be chayav. Each entrance into the room needs a mezuzah. So that's totally obvious. So the answer, lo tzricha, af al gav deragil b'chad, this is what we made reference to yesterday, is that you might have thought if there's one main entranceway and then there's a few side entranceways that nobody really uses very often, you might have thought they're not chayav b'mezuzah, and therefore they say, oh, shmami nadmi Rav Huna, based on this thing about the stairwell that he was talking about, that if you'd have this other room that had different entrances, you'd have to put a mezuzah on all. And he was trying to say that even if you don't generally use all of them. Amar Amim. Hai pitcha de akrana, chayav mezuzah. Okay, again, this is another case where we have many different interpretations. I'll go with the simple one, which is, normally, you have an entrance on a side of a wall, right? What if you cut out the corner of the wall? Okay, karna, we've learned karna, da'atzra means the corner. So what if, thank you. What if you cut off the corner of, you know, where the, basically the entranceway is through the corner, okay? Where there's no real, now here the issue is what? There's no real doorpost. You have the end of the wall on one side and the end of the wall on the other, but it's not a doorpost. And it's both wall things aren't facing each other that are creating an actual doorpost there. Okay? And therefore, thank you. So he says, this pitcha da karna chaya b'mezuzah. So Amarle Rav Ashi LaMeimar Baha Leit LaPitzimim, but it doesn't really have doorposts. Now, how can you say it's Chayav B'Mezuzah? Obviously, we're going to say it's Chayav B'Mezuzah because it's an entranceway into a house or into a room. Now he's going to say, but wait a minute, but it's missing doorposts because you just have the edges of each wall, but you don't really have doorposts. So Amarle, Ede Pitsime, he says the edges of the walls function as the doorposts. Okay, so basically at, you know, where the wall juts out and ends, we're going to view that as the doorpost, and therefore we're going to say it actually does have doorposts. Okay, because what is a doorpost, right? It's kind of the edge of a wall. So we're going to view the edge of the wall as a doorpost. Rav Papa Ikla Lebeim Rav Shmuel, Chazahu Pitcha Delo Hava Ela Patsim Echad Mismola. He came to the house of Rav Shmuel, and he saw that he had a petach that only had a doorpost on one side, on the left side. Vavide la mezuzah. Okay, and he had a mezuzah there. Now again, there's a bit of a debate about what this looked like. Okay, so we can assume here. Let me look at the here. Here are two pictures. I don't know if you have. Now I know you guys have a different pictures than the Shanstein. Okay, so Rashi holds that basically the wall ended right on one side, and it's kind of like a corner where the wall ended one way, okay, and then it's like in the corner, okay, except that we have, as the wall goes up to a certain point, then there's an opening, and then the other wall comes in going the other direction. So again, you don't really have a doorpost here, right? You only have a doorpost on one side, okay? So let's assume the doorpost is the edge of the wall that didn't go all the way to the end. Whereas from the other direction, you have a wall that went all the way to the end, but that's not functioning as a doorpost because the wall is facing the other way. So that's one way of looking at it. But again, whether or not you view that, the Rush says, no, actually what happened was the wall that did go all the way went even farther out. So there was really no doorpost because that wall kept jutting out. You can see that wall here. I'll show you over here. That wall juts out all the way, and here's your doorway. So your doorway on one side has a wall that keeps on going, and the other side is open, right? That's how you have an opening. That's how you have the doorway. So that seems more realistic that that's what they're talking about. And now we're going to say, so it only had a doorpost on the left side, okay? So now on the left side, we're now going to say he put up a mezuzah there, even though, right, so he put up a mezuzah obviously on the right side where there wasn't really a doorpost, he put it there anyway. So now he says, Kim Amarlei Kiman. So when he came into his house, when Papa came into Rav Shmuel's house and saw this, he said, who are you holding like? Ki Rabbi Meir, are you holding like Rabbi Meir, which we're going to see Rabbi Meir's opinion in a bit. Imer Damer Rabbi Meir, when Rabbi Meir said the thing like this would need a mezuzah, where it only has a patsim on one side, a doorpost on one side, mi amin. He was only talking about if it has a doorpost on the right side where your chayav and mezuzah. But mismol mi amar, but did he say you need it if it's on this left side? Maihi, so what is this opinion of Rabbi Meir that we're referring to? Detanya beitecha, what's that from? Uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha. Right, you have to write it on the mezuzot of your house. So beitecha de darshin biatcha. Okay, they darshan not only beitecha, they say, not just beitecha, the drasha is bi'atcha. Your chai v'mezuzah, the way you go in. Okay, so what do they say? Bi'atcha min hayamin, ata omer? Sorry, bi'atcha min hayamin. So they say, beitecha means it's on your right side. Okay, in other words, we always put the mezuzah on the right because generally you walk in on the right. Okay, we're going to see what exactly this means. You walk on the right. So first they say, now they question this assumption. This is all just the brayta that we're bringing to show that when Rabbi Meir said it, he only meant me and me. And therefore, we're still left with our question, why did he put up the doorpost, the mezuzah, when there was only a doorpost on the left side? Atah omer min hayamin, o eino ela mismol. Right, when you say biatcha, how do you know biatcha is miyamin and not mismol? Tamud lamar beitecha. From the word beitecha, we learn that. Okay, so that doesn't make so much sense to us. Didn't make so much sense to the Gemara either. So they say, my Talmud. Now, how do you learn from beitecha that we mean on the right? Amarabba, derech biatcha min hayamin. The way a person walks is from a yamin. How do we know this? Dechi akar inish kare, diyamina akar. Okay, this would generally be talking about right-handed people. I don't know, you can try this and pay attention. I'm sure you never paid attention. But when you start walking, you use your right foot first. And because you use your right foot first, the assumption is, therefore, your biatcha is from the right. And therefore, I was thinking when they march, right? Left, left, right, left. So that kind of ruins this right? maybe. Anyway, so they say basically when people start walking from their right, and that's why the eyes be atchat min hayimin. It depends if you're right-handed or left-handed. It depends. Right, so it does. It might depend if you're right-handed or left-handed, which there's all sorts of things.
And they said, okay, start with your whatever foot you are, and right-handed
people, and right-handed people always start with their right, so there you have it. Okay. Rav Shmuel bar Acha kamei de Rav Papa, mishmei de Rav bar Ula amar, mehacha. He says, we don't learn it from this bi'atcha, okay? We learn it from a different pasuk. Vayikach Yehoyada Kohen Aron Echad. Okay, he did a whole reformation in the Beit HaMikdash, and he wanted to put in this box so people could put money in there to collect money for doing this Beit HaKabayim. So he took Aron Echad, he took a little box, Vayikov Chor Bedalto, and he put a hole in the door, Vayitena To Etzal HaMizbeah, and that is the door of the Aron, meaning he made a little hole in it, like a stucco box. Vayitena To Etzal HaMizbeah Miyamin, and he put it on the right side of the Mizbeah. Bevo ish Beit Hashem, right? As people were coming to Beit Hashem, v'natnu shama kohanim shomrei asaf et kol hakesef hamuva Beit Hashem, and that's where they would all put the money. So he put it on the right side because that was where people walked in. They noticed things first on the right. Okay, this, by the way, would then say this pasuk would prove that it doesn't have to do with whether you're lefty or righty. Right, it was the first pasuk, the first proof. Would be different maybe for left-handed and right-handed people, but this would be for both. Okay, so there's a different proof. Now, that's all about being on the right side. But what about Rabbi Meir himself? In other words, they said, who are you holding like Rabbi Meir? If you're like Rabbi Meir, even Rabbi Meir who said, which we're going to see, you know, which seems to be, even if it's only one doorpost, would still only say it if it's on the right, because we just proved from all those sources that everything has to be on the right. So my Rabbi Meir, Detanya, Bayit she'ein lo ela patzim echad, if it only has one doorpost, Rabbi Meir mechayed b'mezuzah, v'chachamim potrim. Okay, so he's mechayed b'mezuzah, chachamim exempt. My time of Rabbanan, mizuzot k'tiv. Okay, Rabbanan say, uchtavtam al mizuzot beitecha, your doorposts, right? Which means that the doorpost has to have two doorposts. You know, there has to be two sides to it. My time of Rabbi Meir, why does he say even if it has one doorpost? Detanya mizuzot. Says in the Braita, mizuzot de darshin, shomei ani mi'ut mizuzot shtayim. In general, if you say mizuzot, it generally means two. Kishuhu omer mizuzot b'parasha shnia, she'ein talmud lomar, but then it says mizuzot again. When it says mizuzot twice, you'd say, well, you don't need to say that, right? It's unnecessary. Hevi riboy achar riboy, remember that? When you have something that includes more, it's plural, and then you have it again, it includes more, it's plural, the second time it says mezuzot. And then we say, Ein riboy achar riboy ela lima'et, miyakto akatuv lemezuzah achat divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So the first source of Rabbi Meir is Rabbi Yishmael's opinion from this braita, who darshens it from mezuzot. The mezuzot teaches you the fact that mezuzot is repeated in both parshiot of Shema, basically, right? And in Dvarim Vav and Dvarim Yud Aleph, right? In Shema and Vayam Shema. So it's to tell you that Riboy Achar Riboy is a mi'ut, which is to teach you, even though it's seven mezuzot, still, right, we have the mi'ut, which means even if there's only one, then you still are chayav a mezuzah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no tzarich, you don't need that drasha, because you can learn it from somewhere else. Okay, we're going to see that both Rabbi Yishmael and both Rabbi Akiva are going to be proof texts for Rabbi Meir. He holds like both of them. It's just that each one has a different drasha. Kishuhu omer ala mashkof v'al shtei mezuzot. Okay, where is this? This is by Pesach, when they put it on the mashkof. And there it says, al shtei hamezuzot. Now, this is a strange verse. What should it have just said? Al hamezuzot. Mezuzot already is two. The fact that it says two, what does it teach you? She'ein tamud lomar shtei. Ma tamud lomar shtei? Ze bana'av. This teaches you, kol makom shenemar mezuzot, eino ela echat, ad shifaret l'cha katuv shtayim. We've seen this by AD and things like that. We've seen this type of limud, that once it says, right, why would you have to say shnei edim, right, to teach you that? Well, edim, well, okay, we'll deal with that when we've done that before, but anyway, it's the same type of idea. Why does it say shnei mezuzot to teach you? Just by mezuzot, only if it says shnei mezuzot et shtayim, otherwise it could be echat. And that's where Rabbi Akiva learns that it's only one. Okay. By the way, we're not going to have an answer to his question. why did you put it up? Okay, this was, he was saying to him, what, you held like Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir only says it be a meme. But we don't actually ever answer the question.
In Shabbat, doesn't it say mezuzah without the shtei? Doesn't
it just
say that?
Right, and that means one.
Right. So when it says, since in the other place it said shtei mezuzot, that teaches you only if the word shtei appears does it actually mean two. But if it just says mezuzot without shtei, even though normally you would say mezuzot is plural and it's two, therefore mezuzah there will only be, could potentially only be one. And it's the pshat is it's two, that's because it is two generally. But if there weren't to be two, that would also be mezuzot.
But okay. Is that the minimum? Like, is one allowed to put two
mezuzot? No, it's not. Okay, we were confusing two terminologies here. Uchtavtama mezuzot beitecha doesn't mean, it means put them on your doorposts. It's not talking about the mezuzah itself. Uchtavtama means write the mezuzah and put it on your doorposts. We call it a mezuzah, right? That's just, we call it that. That's in those, right, in the Torah, the mezuzah was the doorposts. So the question is, are you chayav to put up a mezuzah if there's only one doorpost, like that example where there was only a doorpost on one side, but the other side, kind of the wall continued, right? And there was no actual doorpost there.
But what's interesting here is that there's no isur not to. Okay.
It's not forbidden to put a mezuzah up if you did it,
if you put up a mezuzah unnecessarily.
So they don't really discuss that, right? Is it forbidden to put one up if you don't really, you're not chayav a mezuzah? Right, well, we saw already the other day that with the Beit Midrash, well, there was a machloket. The question is, there's two different ways of not being chayav mezuzah. There's a case where there could be a machloket, a difference of opinion, about whether you're chayav or not, or even the reality of a case. How do we define this case? Maybe you are chayav. The question is, what exactly does it look like? Is it the wall keeps continuing, or is it the wall ends here? You know, there's a whole... It could be based on a debate like the Beit Midrash. It was also a bit of a debate. Do you need a Beit Midrash or do you not? The question is, if you don't need a mezuzah at all, if it's clear you don't need a mezuzah according to any opinion, would it be problematic? Is there an issue to put one up? Right? I don't know that there is any sort of problem with it. I haven't seen any reference to it, and I can't really think of
it. It could be disrespectful, though, because you can't put one in the bathroom if you want to, for example.
Right. Right, so the right, karma mezuzahs, right. Yes. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Uchtav Tam, Yachol Yachtevena al Avanim. Okay, you might have thought to write it on Avanim. Now, where do they get this idea that you write it on Avanim? So in the, what about the Shomronim?
They describe it on a rock outside of their house, that's what they're doing.
That's how they do their mezuzah?
Yeah.
Yafeh, I didn't know that. Okay, so Shomronim put their mezuzahs on a rock outside their house, and it comes from... We're going to see. It comes from, if you remember, before they enter the land, Moshe tells them, when you get to the land, you're supposed to take Divrei HaTorah Hazot, Uchtav Tam, and write them on Avanim. And in fact, when they go in Yeshua, they write the Torah, write this whole debate, write the whole Torah. They wrote the entire Torah on Avanim. What was the Torah? What were they writing? But they wrote on Avanim. So there you see Ktiva al Avanim. So you might have thought you should write it on Avanim. And what's the other reason for writing on Avanim? Well, if you etch it out in the stone, it's the most permanent that you can get, basically.
Yep. You say you're not supposed to put a mezuzah that low, and stone, if it's sitting on the ground, I mean,
you could etch it out in stone and hang it on your wall.
Right,
but
the Shomronim put it on the ground.
They put it on the ground.
But they also don't buy a whole lot of this.
Right, exactly.
Right,
exactly. I mean, they don't hold by any of the Torah Shabbat Peh, basically.
So
right.
The limitations of the Tefach don't apply.
Exactly. Uchtav Tam. Yachol yachtiven al avanim. Ne'emar kan ktiva, v'ne'emar lahalan ktiva. Ma lahalan al ha-sefer, af kan al ha-sefer. Do we say that we learned it out from another ktiva? Where is the other ktiva, the famous ktiva in the Torah? In a get. V'katav, remember, v'katav v'natani writes it, and he gives it to her. So, there you have to write it, but there it has to be on a sefer, right, like on a piece of parchment, af kan al ha-sefer. Or alternatively, do we say kalech l'derech zo? Do we go in this direction? Ne'amar kan ktiva v'ne'amar lalan ktiva. Ma lahalan al avanim, af kan al avanim. Or do we learn it from the place where Moshe told them to write on the rocks, on the stones? Nir'eh l'mi domeh. Why don't we figure out which this is more similar to if we have two options? Danim ktiva noheget l'dorot, mi ktiva noheget l'dorot. Ve'ein danim ktiva noheget l'dorot, mi ktiva she'ein noheget l'dorot. In other words, the rocks is a one-time thing. So we'd better off learning mezuzah, which is for generations, from another halacha that's for generations, which is get. Ukemosha ne'amar lahalan, and likewise we see, v'yom alehem baruch, okay, this is Baruch who wrote down the what Yirmiyahu told him to write, which was Megillat Echa. He also wrote it on a book with ink. So Rav Acha Barei the Rava says Rav Ashi. The Torah says Al Mizuzot. Va'at Amart Nelach Tivak Tiva. Right. So the Torah says Al Mizuzot, and you said And as the Torah says, Uchtavtam al mizuzot beitecha. Now, think about it. What were their doorposts generally made of? They could have been made out of stones, right? They had stones, and then it sounds like, if it says, write it on your doorpost, think about what it literally sounds like. Etch it into the doorpost, right? Which sounds like it. So he's saying, if the Torah says al mizuzot, and you're going to say, let's learn ktiva ktiva, so what does he answer? Amakra, Uchtavtam. Ktiva tama, ktiva tama, which means a complete writing, which means a writing that, So the assumption is that if you, it's interesting. I said before about avanim that it stays forever, but here they're suggesting that maybe if you wrote on stones, maybe you took ink and you wrote on stones, that wouldn't be so permanent. And likewise, if you wrote on wood, it also wouldn't be so permanent. And therefore, uchtav tam, you're better off writing it on something that's going to be more permanent, the hadar al hamizuzot, and then put it on the doorpost. Okay, so we understand it, right? This is a right, it's a funny case where what we think is so obvious, right? But they're suggesting maybe it's not. Maybe uchtavtam, right? Maybe that's why the shomronim do it differently, because literally it sounds like write it on your doorpost. Now, I'm not sure why they don't write it directly on their doorpost. Why they actually put it on a rock and put it there. I don't know where they get that from. Okay. So if you're going to say then, uchtav tam means ktiva tama, and that's how we learn that you don't write it on rocks or on wood. Hai gzera shava lamali. So what do you need the gzera shava that we started with of uchtav tam and the ktiva v'chatav from the get? So what are the answer? Ilav gzera shava hava amina lichtiva avna v'likba asipa. Kamashmalan. You might have thought, if you didn't have the Gzeres Shava from the get, because the get really teaches you cloth. Ktiva Tama could be done, like I said before, on rocks. So in theory, you might have thought, well, it's true that they learned that you have to do the writing and then put it on the wall, but maybe you could, in theory, etch it into the stones, which would be a Ktiva Tama, and then put it on the wall and mount it on the wall. And therefore, they say, you need both the uchtav tam to teach you ktiva tama. I didn't exactly say this, but I thought just because it's obvious, but maybe it's not obvious. Uchtav tam, ktiva tama is what we call not rikon. It's where it's like sort of the opposite of abbreviation. It's or similar to abbreviation where we take a word uchtav, which would be ktiva, and tam is tama, right? We take the word and we say it's sort of a shortened version of a longer phrase. So uchtav tam, right? Ktiva tama, it has to be a complete writing. And from the Gzeres Shava, we learned that it has to be on cloth. Because in theory, you could have had a ktiva tama on rocks. So therefore, we learn both. Okay, from here we finished mezuzah. We're now going to move into tefillin. Arba parshiyot shebetefillin ma'akvot zo etzo v'afilu ktav achad ma'akvan. Okay, we started with that in the Mishnah. And that's how we got to all this. We were talking about all different things, if you remember, that one is ma'akev the other. If you don't have this, you can't do that. So the four parashiyot of tefillin, you have to have all four of them. Okay, let's do some background. Okay, tefillin shalosh. First of all, you can see here, the tefillin shalosh has these four compartments on the outside, four compartments on the inside, and each one has a different cloth inside, right? The four are put inside. We'll talk about at the end of today, if we have time, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, about the machloka between the order of how you put the cloth in. There's a shin on the top. Okay, the knot okay, makes a dalid shape, and then there's a yud on the other, on the tefillin shel yad. Okay, this is the knot here makes a yud shape, and that's Shem Hashem. If you notice, there's a big difference. The tefillin shel rosh has four compartments, and the tefillin shel yad has only one compartment. Okay, and it's all one cloth inside with all four parshiot. They both have all four parshiot, which we saw the other day, right? Two from Shmot, Akivi Yachan, Kadesh Li, Kol B'chor, and Shema and Vayayim Shemoah. Okay? Tov. Well, and it's made up of a box, a base, and then this part where you put the strap through. Okay. So now they say Pshita. Obviously, Ktav Achad Ma'akvan. Of course, all the letters have to be right. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Nitzcha, Ela Lekot Tzol Shel Yud. We saw this before with the Sefer Torah, right? They needed to tell you about the little chipchik at the top of the Yud, or there's a debate about at the bottom. There's a debate about where it is. There's a three-way machloket about where.
Either bottom, right? But not
I thought there were three. I thought it was either the very top or
no, it's the very top
or the two at the bottom. The yud.
The sofer said that the one at the very bottom makes it not a yud at all. So it's not that. It's either at the top of the head or it's thick or this one here.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's either this or that, but it can't be this
uh-huh.
one.
Can't be the bottom. Okay. Tov. V'hanami pshita. Isn't this also obvious? Lo nitzcha ela leidach to Rav Yehuda da Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav kol ot she'ein gvil mukaf la me'arba uchota psula. Right, it comes to tell you that all the letters have to be surrounded by space. Right? You can't have any letters attached to each other. Now we're going to talk about the tefillin shel rosh. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Even though the Gemara doesn't tell you this, I'm telling you this right now. We're just talking about the tefillin shel rosh. So we're going to talk about the arba batim. Okay, if you notice. Vayalacha la'ot al yadecha. La'ot is the yad. Ulitotafot. Okay, well, this actually pasuk is the zikaron b'enecha, but it's ot al yadecha ulitotafot b'enecha. So the totafot talk about b'en ha'inayim, which is called the tefillin shel rosh, right? That goes between your eyes, right? Really above your eyes, but in the space between. So when we talk about litotafot, we're specifically talking about the rosh. L'totafot, l'totafot, l'totafot. Right, this is famous. We've talked about this before, where it actually appears a little differently in our text. But they're going to say it's chaser, chaser, and then malay harekan arba. Okay, this means there's four because there's it's chaser the first two. That's one each, and then the second one is malay. That counts as two. That's how we get four according to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Akiva Omer einot tzarich. We don't need to learn it from there because tat bekatfi shtayim. Pat ba'afriki shtayim. Tat and totafot comes from two different languages. Tat comes from a language called katvi, and pat comes from a language called afriki, and each of them mean two. So that means two, and that means two. That makes up four. Tanu Rabbanan. Yachol yichtaveim al arba orot, v'yinicham ba'arba batim, ba'arba orot. Okay, you might have thought you could write it on. Okay, we're now going to talk about orot as being two different things. Four orot means four separate klafim, and you could put it in four separate batim, in four different pieces of skin, meaning that these, right, I told you this has four compartments at the top on the outside also, that maybe each of these would be four separate pieces of skin also, okay? So we would have four klafim inside, in four batim, right, inside this there's sections, right, those are the four batim, and with four different orot. So four different pieces of skin. Talmud Lamar ulezikaron beinecha. Okay, the pasuk says. Okay, this is the pasuk in Shmot Yugimel pasuk Tet. It should be lezikaron beinecha. Right. Obviously, the four parshiot, all the four parshiot are the four places that tefillin is mentioned in the Torah. So what do they say? Zikaron echad amarti lecha velo shdayim v'shlosha zichronot. Okay. So therefore, haketzad. How do you get one zikaron? Kotvin al arba orot. You do write on four separate cloths. And you do put it in four different sections, but be'or echad. But this has to be one piece of skin, okay? And they put it into a mold to basically get it to have this shape. Ve'im ketavam, what if you wrote it be'or echad? Okay, now they want to come up with different possibilities. What if you wrote it on one piece of parchment? Ve'hinicham ba'arba'a batim, yatsa. Okay? If you put it on one piece of parchment, and you put it, okay, now Rashi claims, im ktavam ba'or achad, that you then, okay, we're going to see in a minute, well, let's finish and then we'll explain Rashi and we'll see the different interpretations. V'tzarich she'ehe revach b'enehem divrei Rebbe. In other words, in theory, even though you're supposed to write it on four different cloths, and the assumption is, also Rashi talks about, they're supposed to be standing up within the bayit. Okay, they should be upright, just like the mezuzah is upright. Again, there were different interpretations. Is it upright? Is it horizontal? But it's supposed to be four different klafim in four different sections. So now, what if you have one klaf and you want to put in all four batim? So as long as you leave space in between each parasha, Now, there's a debate. According to Rashi, it's so that you could cut it. In other words, the point is, you have to take four different pieces of cloth and write each one in a different cloth and then roll each one and put it in. According to Rashi, you can write, what this means is if you wrote it all on one, as long as you left enough space that you could cut it and then roll it up and put it in each one individually, that's okay, according to Rebbe. According to other people, no, you wouldn't have it upright, you would put it sideways and you would loop it in each one. Okay, that you could actually loop it in without cutting it. Okay, then it would stick out a little at the bottom here, right? There would be cloth at the bottom, but you would do that. And then we're going to see in a minute what the other opinion says. Chachamim omrim eino tzarich. You don't need to put revach b'nehem. But they say, v'shavim, but both of them agree, shenotein chut o meshicha ben kol achat v'achad. You'd still have to distinguish between the four sections. So you'd have to put... It seems to me like you would kind of put a string or some sort of notation on the cloth as it's sticking out, where it juts out in between each section. You'd have to put some sort of marker, indicator, with a chut or something, with a string or something like that, to show that where there's section breaks here. Okay? So according to Chachamim, you don't even need space as long as you have section breaks. V'im ein charitzan nikar psulot. Okay, this is the, if you look at the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it has these four sections from the outside. You can see that there's four sections, whereas in the Tefillin Shel Yad, you don't have that at all. If you don't have those four charitzim, those four grooves that separate it, it's pasul. Tanu Rabbanan, ketzad kotvan. How do you write them? Tefillin Shel Yad, okay, so how do you do the Tefillin Shel Yad? Kotval or chad. Okay, you write it, the entire thing, and the Tefillin Shel Yad, now we're going to move to the Tefillin Shel Yad, you write it on one big piece of parchment, right? Not so big, but one that's big enough for all four. The ink tava ba'arba orot, what if you do the opposite now? Instead of, right, we had to be on four separate, and you did it, we discussed what if you did it on one long one. Here we have, what if you did it on four separate ones? V'nicham b'bayit achad yatsa. Okay, if you wrote it on four separate klafim, as long as you put them all into the one bite of the Tefillin Shel Yad, you're Yotze. But it says here, v'tzarich lidabek. But you have to stick them one to the other, either sew them together or glue them somehow. You have to attach them one to the other. Why? Shne'emar v'yalacha le'ot al yadecha. It has to be le'ot on your hand. And here, le'ot is singular, meaning one oat, one whole thing. It has to be. Kishem sha'otacha mibachutz, just like it's one piece outside and it's not separated into ridges. Kach otacha mibifnim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be, you have to somehow attach them to each other so it ends up one whole unit. Rabbi Yossi omeri no tzarich, he says it doesn't need to be all one thing. Amar Rabbi Yossi, umodili Rabbi Yehuda berebi, shim elo tfilin shal yad, v'yesh lo shtei tfilin shal rosh, shetole or alachat mehen umenicha. So Rabbi Yossi says that Rabbi Yehuda would be modeh, that if he doesn't have tefillin shel yad, and he has two tefillin shel rosh, what does he do? Since it has to be one, what does he do? He puts one piece of or on top of it to kind of turn the tefillin shel rosh into one unit, right? That's not with ridges, umenicha, and then he can use it. So they say, modeh, how could you say that Rabbi Yehuda's modeh to you about this? Hainu plug tayu. That was exactly what your machloka was about. Can you put, right, do they have to be together or not? So Amar Rava, midvarav shel Rabbi Yossi, we can infer from what Rabbi Yossi said that he was modeh to me, that it doesn't mean he agrees with me only in this case. It means chazer bo Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda actually changed his mind after hearing Rabbi Yossi. And when Rabbi Yossi says modeh, he means he changed his mind, he agreed to my opinion entirely. Okay, not that he changed his mind about one minor thing. No, because obviously if he agreed about that, he must agree about the entire thing, because that's what their machloka was about. So now they have a question. They say, how could you say that if you had two tefillin shel rosh, you could put a piece of or on top of, on one of them, right, on take one of the tefillin shel rosh and use that for your tefillin shel yad? Don't we have, hashalach Rav Chananya, mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rav Chananya send in the name of Rabbi Yochanan this halacha, tefillah shel yad, tefillah obviously means tefillin, osin ota shel rosh, you can turn a tefillin shel yad into a tefillin shel rosh, you can use it as a tefillin shel rosh, v'shel rosh ein osin ota shel yad, lefi she'ein moridim mikdusha chamura lekdusha kala. You cannot turn a tefillin shel rosh into a tefillin shel yad, why? Because You can't be morid from kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. Okay, now, big question is, why is tefillin shel rosh kedusha chamura and tefillin shel yad is kedusha kala? So, a few different interpretations. One is because it has the shin and the dalid. Some people say, but it doesn't have the whole Shem Hashem. So, right, that's why I showed you before. This has the shin and the dalid. The other one has the yud. Maybe that's because why it has greater kedusha. But the people say, but shin and dalid is not a full name of Hashem, so that wouldn't necessarily mean it. The other interpretation, which made the most sense to me, which is what I thought when I read it, was that it's on your head, which is a higher place. And it has higher kedusha because it's on your head, which also is more significant than your yad. You know, maybe it has more chashivut because of that.
The same number of parshiot.
Right, the same number of parshiot, it's split up. I don't know if that would make it kedusha chamura. So anyway, that, how could you have said before then that if you have two tefillin shalosh, you put a piece of skin on the tefillin shel yad and turn it into a tefillin shel yad, when here it says you can't? Lo kasha haba atikta haba chadita. Here you have one that was used already, an old one, you can't change because it already had kedusha. But the chadita, if it was a new one that was never actually used, it was only designated to be tefillin shalosh, but it was never actually used as tefillin shalosh, then you could change it. Ulamanda amar hazmana milti. But if you say that just designating it is significant enough, it would have to be a case da'ane alayu me'ikara. It would have to be that you already said from the beginning, I'm going to make this a tefillin shel rosh, but maybe if I needed a tefillin shel yad, it'll also be a tefillin shel yad, where you didn't fully designate something. We've seen many cases in halacha where designating something gives it a certain significance and is considered something. Okay, we'll stop here. We didn't get to Rashi Rabbeinu time. We'll get to it tomorrow, where we're going to talk about the seder of the parshiot in the tefillin.